Greetings and welcome back. I'm Mark Little. I'd like to welcome you to the monthly Advisor Pact session. Each month, we go through questions that have been submitted by members of the Advisor Pact monthly program, and we deal with it. Today, we have two questions that I thought were very good, and I think the ones that will benefit the most people. So let's get to it. First, I'd like to just review the Advisor Pact concept. Advisor Pact is a commitment that you agree to make to each of your ideal clients. These are four commitments. PACT is an acronym, and they represent the four client expectations. These are the four things that clients who are actually seeking comprehensive financial services claim they cannot find anywhere in any advisor at any price. Therefore, you make this commitment to each and every client that that you acquire that you're going to deliver truly comprehensive financial services to. You agree to protect your client. You're the advisor that the client has always looked for, who's got their back, who will in all cases agree to identify potential conflicts of interest and call them out. You will agree that whenever there are potential conflicts, you agree to have a conversation, even if and especially when these potential conflicts exist with you or with your team. The second commitment is to pay attention. Most clients realize that advisors do not pay close attention to their situation and therefore miss opportunities for course corrections. And you commit that you and your team will pay close attention to each and every ideal client situation so that as their situation inevitably drifts off course from time to time, you and your team have a process in place to make the required recommendations for course corrections in order to remain on track to the client's goals. And then coordination. Clients realize that most advisors do not coordinate with other members of a client's team. So when you first encounter a client, they've got financial people in their life. They've got accountants. They've got usually an estate planning lawyer, money managers, and so forth. And these people either never talk to each other, or if they do, it's the client who is coordinating these people. And even that is very rare. So you come in with this commitment that you agree to coordinate all the financial people and all the financial products in a client's life so that everything that the client has and all the recommendations that a client receives are completely and perfectly aligned with the overarching strategy that you and your team will establish for each and every ideal client. And then finally, transparency. It's appalling how clients around the world complain that they don't really understand exactly how they're paying for the financial products and the financial people in their life. And you agree and make the commitment. You make an advisor pact with each and every ideal client for full transparency, that you will make sure that each and every client every year will understand what they're paying for all the financial people and all the financial products in their life. And that in short is the advisor pact that you will make to each and every ideal client. And each month we talk about how to address issues and problems that come up as you're implementing this quest to deliver truly comprehensive financial services to your best clients. And by the way, what's the payoff? Well, the payoff is quite tremendous for implementing this truly comprehensive financial services and making and delivering upon this advisor pact. It's that you become so referable. You deliver such tremendous value to each and every ideal client that you become indispensable to them. And indispensable in such a way that your clients will take over the marketing for your firm. That they are so impressed with the level of service that they are receiving from you that they've never received from any other advisor, that they will not allow anyone that they know or love or care about to talk to anybody but you about their finances. So this resolves your client acquisition dilemma. your clients will keep you filled with new potential clients for you to talk to. So there are two questions that we're going to cover today, and the issues that they represent are interesting. The first question we'll deal with actually deals with how to improve client service as you grow. In other words, as you add client, you'll add client value as you add ideal clients. This is the whole issue of scalability. So we'll talk about how to actually improve as you grow. And then the second question, we're going to talk and review something that we've talked about periodically in these sessions, but it came in as a question again from a new member. What are the initial projects that you need to implement as you begin implementing truly comprehensive financial services? We'll kind of walk through the sequence. And for some of you, this will be a refresher. And for others of you, you'll realize that as we go through this, that you may need to go back and sort of review some of the steps at the beginning. This is one of these foundational issues that if you get these initial sequence of projects set properly, and if you go through them thoroughly, then it sets the stage for really fabulous progress, and you can move very quickly through the 11 implementation steps to implement truly comprehensive financial services if you will only just get these initial projects nailed down very effectively. So we'll go through those today. Okay, the first question. Since we're coming upon tax season, we were thinking about concentrating all of the annual review meetings into March and April. So this is a question about the three-meeting process. And the annual review, we'll review the three-meeting process here in a minute. But what they're referring to here is one of the three meetings in the three-meeting process. So we're thinking about concentrating all of our annual review meetings into March and April, so that our tax planning subject matter expert can meet with everyone, and then giving our team a break in May and June, in other words, give them 2 months off where they have no client meetings. So they're talking about, you know, just compressing the schedule so that you're concentrating meetings into a couple of months period, and then you give your team a break for a couple of months. Well, let's see. Do I have an opinion about this? Yes, I do. My opinion is stop. Stop right now. Don't do this. This will set the stage for substantial problems down the road. You'll notice that when you just have a handful of clients, three or four or five clients, this is not a big issue. So you're not going to notice this problem for a while. But once you get to 10, 15, 20 ideal clients, what you're talking about in this concentrating of meetings is going to limit and reduce your ability to scale your business. So let's take this one step at a time. Let's go back to the beginning and let's kind of recall or review the three-meeting process. Let's just go through the three-meeting process real quick so that we're all on the same page. So the three-meeting process is basically a cycle of three meetings that you'll conduct with every single client, and these meetings are 4 months apart. So the three-meeting process begins with a meeting that we call the comprehensive safety review. So each meeting has deliverables checkpoints that are assigned and distributed to your various subject matter experts. You have five subject matter experts that deliver the mechanics of truly comprehensive financial services, that being a financial planning subject matter expert, a money management subject matter expert, a tax subject matter expert, an estate planning subject matter expert, and an insurance subject matter expert. So you have these five subject matter experts, and they will deliver all of the mechanics of truly comprehensive financial services and all the 143 deliverables checkpoints that are assigned to these five subject matter experts. But these checkpoints are distributed and assigned evenly throughout the year through these three meetings. And the first meeting in the process is the comprehensive safety review. And then the client has a 4 month break. And then they meet with you again. And we have a meeting called the Goal Progress Outlook, where there are, again, specific assignments to your team of subject matter experts to accomplish. And then 4 months later, there's the annual review. And this is the meeting that is being referred to in this question. So I don't know why they picked the annual review, but for some reason or another, this advisor is saying, I have decided, or I'm thinking about taking this meeting that called the annual review and concentrating it so that we're having all the clients' annual reviews in a 2 month period in March and April, and then we won't have any more annual reviews for the rest of the year. And I know this is not an uncommon thought. I get this fairly frequently from advisors. Seems on first brush to be maybe a reasonable idea. And sometimes I've had advisors tell me that this is something that's actually suggested by the subject matter experts. Why? Because of their own personal needs. So each subject matter expert has their own opinion about how to do what's easiest for them. And the mantra in the in this effort implementing truly comprehensive financial services, we have the truly comprehensive financial services team mantra. And that is, what's best for the client comes first. And then what's best for the team comes second. And then finally, what's best for the individual team member comes last. And this is an issue that if a subject matter expert suggests, well, let's say the tax expert says, hey, I need to meet with all the clients. And so can we, what I propose as a motion on the table is that we have the annual review and that we have that over the next 2 months. And then after tax season, I, as the tax expert, will take a couple of months off and just take a breather because this tax season is so compressed. Well, what that proposal is something that I recommend you do not do, that you resist the temptation to consider that kind of a suggestion, because what it actually represents is something that's best for an individual team member, but not best for the client. It's not best for the client. It's not best for the team. And let me show you exactly why. And by the way, just to finish out with this three-meeting process, the whole idea of the three-meeting process is you're going to cycle through these three meetings every 4 months for your entire relationship, the entire life of your relationship with this client. So you're going to continue cycling through these same three meetings forever with every client, every 4 months. So by implementing this three-meeting process, it means that your team is going to conduct three meetings per client per year. So you're going to cycle through these meetings, but you're going to have three meetings per client per year. And said another way, that means you're going to be meeting with every client once every 4 months. So you're going to be meeting with clients on a regular frequency. And let's just say hypothetically that a trusted advisor, and I want to give you an example here. Let's say a trusted advisor has 24 ideal clients, just to pick a number. Here's how the three-meeting process would look for an advisor that has 24 clients. It means that there are three of each of these meeting types. We call these meeting types. So this advisor with 24 ideal clients is going to have the annual review 24 times each and every year. This advisor is going to conduct the comprehensive safety review, which is a meeting type, 24 times because there's 24 clients each year. And this advisor will conduct the goal progress outlook meeting type 24 times each and every year. That's a total of 72 meetings for this advisor. But as you can see, there are three of each of the meeting types for every ideal client. So this is how it would look and how it would be distributed in this hypothetical with 24 clients. But the point of this, and we'll get back to the scalability here, there are some ongoing requirements for the three-meeting process, and let's talk about those. So you get the gist of the three-meeting process. You've got these three meeting types, and there are three meetings with each client every year. And each meeting has a different agenda and a number of assignments behind the scenes for your deliverables team to basically cycle through all the major issues. But what are the ongoing requirements? And we'll talk about the outcomes and the result of implementing all this properly in a minute. But But one of the ongoing requirements is that no month has any more or less client progress meetings than any other month. And no month has any more or less meeting types than any other month. So this is talking about, number one is talking about the quantity of total progress meetings. No month has any more or less client meeting count than any other month. And then the second issue has to do with the meeting types, and the meeting types being the annual review, the comprehensive safety review, the goal progress outlook. So no month has any more or less meeting types than any other month. Let me say this a different way, just to make the point. So if I say the same thing, but I say it a different way, that we're just talking about the ongoing requirement being that your administrative manager spread the total number of meetings evenly throughout the year so that you have no month that has any more or less meetings than any other month. And secondly, that your administrative manager also spread these meeting types evenly throughout the year so that no month has any concentration of any meeting type more or less than any other month. So you're talking about concentrating the annual review into March and April, and that violates this ongoing requirement. Now, I think it's worth asking, you know, why is this important? Well, it goes to this issue of scalability, that we have some objectives in this three-meeting process, some things that we have encountered as you, as an advisor, grow, as you add ideal clients, and some things that you want to avoid that clients, ideal clients, complain about as advisors grow their business. And so we want to avoid these problems. We want to avoid these predictable complaints that ideal clients have as an advisor's growing and adding ideal clients. And the way you avoid these problems, and I'll discuss them here, and we'll end up on the outcomes and the result of implementing this properly so that you avoid all these problems. We'll talk about that. We'll kind of wrap up with those. But I just want to point out that this ongoing requirement of spreading the meetings out evenly in the year throughout the year is really anticipating your scalability. So we're trying to set up the three-meeting process so that as you grow, your team doesn't get burdened, and that your team can deliver at a very high level no matter how many ideal clients you decide to add to your business. So these are two of the three ongoing requirements. The third ongoing requirement of the three-meeting process is to have three meetings on the calendar at all times with every ideal client. So you spread the meetings throughout the year, you spread the meetings evenly, meeting types evenly throughout the year, and you have all three meetings scheduled on the calendar with every client at all times. So this means you always have meetings scheduled a year out with every client. Now, getting back to the spreading these meetings out, let me just go through a hypothetical here. This is what we call a three-meeting process master calendar. It's actually very simple. So what you're looking at is a spreadsheet. And I pulled this image directly off the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. So this is exactly how we teach it to the advisors on the toolkit, creating a master calendar to accomplish these ongoing requirements of the three-meeting process. So the way you read this is along the top, the columns here, these are the months of the year, January through December. The row, each row represents a client. So in this hypothetical, we're talking about an advisor who at this point has 9 ideal clients, all right? So you notice that for each client, let's take it one client at a time. For this first client, they have obviously 3 meetings per year. Each meeting is 4 months apart. So in January, there is the goal progress outlook each and every year. That means every January, every year, in other words, forever, this client's goal progress outlook will always be in January. And then 4 months later, the client will have the next meeting in the sequence, which is the annual review. And so this client will have their annual review every year in May. And then 4 months later, in September, this client will have their comprehensive safety review. So as you can see, this client, at least initially, well, I would say forever, this client can plan to have their meetings in January, May, and September. Now, I say for now, because I'll talk to you in a minute. One of the things that your administrative manager is going to have to do is manage this master calendar, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But let's look at the second client. So the second client, they have their goal progress outlook in February. So it's staggered a little bit. We don't have in January any other goal progress outlooks. We have this client's goal progress outlook meeting in February. And if you look up and down the February column, just kind of look up and down this column, there are no other clients that have a goal progress outlook in the month of February. Now, I'm not saying to avoid having more than one meeting type in a month. I'm just pointing out that for this advisor that has just nine ideal clients, that they've staggered these meeting types so that each month doesn't have any concentration of meeting types. As a matter of fact, look at all the goal progress outlooks for this advisor. They're spread out, staggered throughout the year. So you don't have any month that has any more goal progress outlook meetings than any other month. So back to this client. So their goal progress outlook is in February, 4 months later, their annual review, the next meeting in the sequence is in June, 4 months after that in October is the comprehensive safety review. So this client will have their three meetings each and every year in the months of February, June, and October. Now, what I was getting at when I was talking about the staggering of the meetings is if you look at the total number of meeting counts at the bottom. So if you can read this at the bottom of this master calendar, it totals up the total number of meetings each and every month. And for this advisor, you'll notice that most months have two meetings, a couple of months during the year, which is April and August. There are 2 months during the year when there are three meetings. So it's not that you're trying to hit precisely the same number of meetings every month. It's just that there is a conscious attempt. There's a conscious effort in place to try to spread these meetings out evenly throughout the year so that no month has any more or less meetings than any other month. So most of the months have two meetings in this hypothetical. A couple of months have three meetings, but as you can see, there's an average of two or three meetings every month, and there's no month that has like six meetings where you're concentrating. There's actually 3 months that have three meetings. It's April, August, and December. So, but as you can see, more or less, each month has the same number of meetings than every other month. And as we were pointing out, no month has any concentration of meeting types. So there's also a conscious effort to spread these meeting types evenly throughout the year. So why are we doing all this? Why are we spreading them out? Where there are some outcomes that we desire in implementing this three-meeting process. There's some things that we notice that clients complain about that we're trying to resolve, and there's some needs of the team in order to do the work that they are required to do to deliver truly comprehensive financial services. So if you implement exactly the way we're describing with the ongoing requirements of spreading the meetings out and making sure that there are always you're always scheduled a year out with every client with all their meetings, these are the outcomes that you can anticipate. One of the biggest complaints of clients, especially when there are events in the market, like declines in the market, or there's world events that make clients nervous, you know, like some time back we had the scare about Greece, the country of Greece going bankrupt, and you know, as we studied this issues like that, clients get very nervous, and they just, if nothing else, if they don't necessarily wonder if that issue is affecting them individually, they just would like, and they're calmed down by having an interaction with their advisor. And one of the problems in the past has been when the market declines or when there's significant world events that make clients nervous, is there is a surprising number of financial advisors that not only don't meet with their clients, they kind of hide under their desk and don't return calls, and you know, they're scared of their clients' reaction for a variety of reasons that we could talk about, mainly that they well, without going into that, it's a reality that clients complain that they just don't know when they're going to be talking to their advisor next. And so by booking these meetings a year out, every one of your clients is going to know with absolute certainty when they're going to be speaking with you next. And they know that you are fearless. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite of fear in meeting with them during these periods of uncertainty in the markets, that you want to meet with your client on a regular basis. We actually call these meetings client progress meetings, so that even when the financial markets are declining, we're going to meet nevertheless to discuss how to make progress, focusing only on things that we can control. We're not going to worry about things that we can't control, like the markets or world events or things like that. So one of the best outcomes of the three-meeting process and implementing the ongoing requirements is that clients will always know when they're going to be talking to you. And so when they're on the golf course, or they're at a backyard barbecue, or they're in a board charitable board meeting that they're meeting with friends and acquaintances of theirs, and they're people that they know are complaining about their advisors and how there's all these problems in the market from time to time, and people are complaining about their advisor, and I can't get a hold of my advisor, and I don't know how all this is affecting me, and I wish I could, you know, sit down with my advisor more frequently, but frankly, I don't know where they are or what they're doing. Your client can step up and say, well, that's certainly not true with my advisor. Not only do I have regular meetings with my advisor, I could pull out my calendar right now on my phone and show you all the meetings that I've got scheduled for the next 12 months with my advisor. So this is a best outcome of one of the three ongoing requirements, you know, implementing the three ongoing requirements of the three meeting process. Secondly, you know, your subject matter experts need access to your clients. Maybe not direct access, because you as a trusted advisor typically facilitate these client progress meetings. You may have a subject matter expert attend a client meeting as a guest because they've got a significant issue to talk to the client about. But for the most part, you as the trusted advisor are facilitating these meetings. But I would contend that one of the best outcomes of the three-meeting process is you're meeting with every client every 4 months. That's very unusual. Talk to any tax accountant, talk to any estate planning attorney, and ask them, how often do you actually interact with your clients during the course of an average year? And they'll answer in a variety of ways. They may stammer and stutter because most of them don't have regular meetings with clients. But you can say, look, my team, my tax expert, my estate planning lawyer, my money manager, insurance expert, everybody on our team has access to the client each and every 4 months. So each and every year we have three interactions with the client, just like clockwork. And there is always information that only the client possesses, either information they've got in their head or documents that they've got that only they can provide. And so your subject matter experts, in order to do the extraordinary work that we're asking them to do at the highest level in the industry, they need this information. They need this documentation from the client that only the client possesses. And my point is that the three-meeting process, implemented the way we teach, allows your subject matter experts to have regular access to the clients. And also, it gives them three chances each year to sit down and convey and update their recommendations for this client. Because as we know, situations tend over time, inevitably, to drift even slightly off track. And so now we have an opportunity with the three-meeting process to sit down every 3 months and pay close attention to the client's situation, so that if things drift off track, even just a little bit, our team is right there, front and center, to recommend course corrections that are required to get the client back on track. So our subject matter experts, it may be primarily through the advisor, but they do have regular access to the clients to gather information and convey the necessary recommendations for this client to remain on track. That's number two. And by the way, that's very unusual. As a matter of fact, from a client perspective, clients have never had an advisor that has that kind of a system in place to get that regular access and to get information and to convey recommendations. And I would say this is a big complaint that clients have about advisors at some point in their life of working with an advisor. It's the complaint that, hey, I used to feel like I got a lot of attention from my advisor, but over the years they grew, they added a lot of big clients, and now I just feel like a small fish in a big pond. The three-meeting process, implemented the way we teach, where you're spreading meetings evenly throughout the year, so you're not concentrating the each of the progress meetings focuses on a different set of subject matter experts. Or if I said it a different way, you know, each of the progress meeting types kind of emphasizes one of the areas of finance or more. And so, for example, the comprehensive safety review is very intensive for the insurance subject matter expert. It's a review of all the insurance and an analysis of the insurance policies that the client should possess. And then the goal progress outlook, likewise, is kind of focused on the money manager and the estate planning lawyer. And then the annual review is focused on the financial planning subject matter expert and an update in an annual review of the projections and updating, you know, the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy for the client. So by not concentrating any of these meeting types, which emphasizes work specifically on one of the subject matter, one or more of the subject matter experts, by spreading these meetings and meeting types evenly throughout the year, you're not concentrating the work. You're not putting any undue pressure on any single subject matter expert. You're spreading the work evenly throughout the year so that no client ever gets lost in the shuffle. The workload is spread evenly throughout the year. Every subject matter expert can space out their work evenly throughout the year. And it's quite the contrary. With the three-meeting process implemented the way that we're talking about, every client always feels like they're a big fish in a small pond. They feel like they're getting adequate attention at all times, and they never get this feeling as the ideal clients are being added to the community. They never get this feeling that they're lost in the shuffle. They always feel like they're getting adequate attention, and it never crosses their mind that, hey, in the old days, I used to get a lot more attention from this advisor and their team. We are specifically structuring the three-meeting process to avoid that predictable problem. Fourth, clients are continually served. Now, this is a big this is a big issue for clients. Want to make sure that no client. This is kind of in the spirit of every client feels like a big fish in a small pond, but. You know, you think about the cycle of the year. So what drove this particular question was the tax expert, or I'm speculating, the tax expert is saying, you know, they have a big push every year during tax season. And so the tax expert, I'm going to speculate, is the one that proposed this concentration of meetings, because they have a big push every year with these clients that they've got their cycle of work on a calendar cycle. And I would just point out, just side issue, that every subject matter expert, with the exception of the tax expert, every other subject matter expert has their list of assignments of their process for what they're going to be doing for each and every client on a cycle that can be spread out evenly throughout the year. But the tax expert is an exception. Their cycle of work is more calendar driven. It's driven by the dates of the tax agency. So you have deadlines for filing documents, you have deadlines and cutoffs for tax years and when things can be contributed or deductions can be made and what year that will be attributable to. So you have these calendar deadlines, and that is unique to the tax subject matter expert. And so that particular expert has a concentration of work during a certain period of the year, and there's nothing we can do about it. It's driven by the tax calendar. But every other subject matter expert, we can spread their work evenly throughout the year so that they are continually serving clients throughout the year. There's no months that we're taking off. And if you think about just real life, everybody takes vacation and holidays. And heaven forbid, but you know, from time to time, subject matter experts and even the trusted advisor, everybody on the team is either going to get sick or, heaven forbid, there's some sort of an accident and there's time off that's health related. And so there are going to be gaps in service just by virtue of the fact that that people take time off and people need to take time off due to health issues. And so this is but the clients cannot have a break in their service. What the clients are expecting, even though they realize, if they thought about it, that there are times during the year when people on the team are going to take time off or you know, heaven forbid, they need to take time off because of their health. We need to set up our structure, and it's a team structure, so that the subject matter experts are continually working on the clients with no breaks in the calendar. Let's talk about why it's important that clients are continually served. I want to pause right there in the outcomes and talk about why is it important that clients are continually served throughout the year. Because we know that as we said, subject matter experts are going to be taking time off throughout the year, so why not allow them to take time off? Well, it's the commitment that we've made to every client, and first of all, in our advisor pack to them. We have committed to our clients that we're going to be paying close attention to their situation. We're not telling them that we're going to take 2 months off in April and May and June, like you're saying. So you're proposing that we have all the annual reviews in March and April, and then we take May and June off and just give the team a break. Well, that violates the advisor pact, that we have agreed to the client that we're going to be paying close attention to them throughout the year. And what does this standard, this high standard that we're setting of continual service for the team to be focused on the client, it allows for you as the advisor to take time off. So let's think about this. I had a conversation with an advisor this very week where the advisor was saying, hey, I've reached the point in my business where, you know, I want to take a month off every quarter. So think about that. Every 3 months, the advisor's taking 1 month off. That's 3 months off a year. So how do you work that into the cycle? Well, okay, in that situation, we're going to have to spread the meetings out across, we're going to have to avoid 3 months a year. So when we talk about spreading the meetings evenly throughout the year, well, obviously we have to allow for the advisor's calendar. So we can't have a meeting when the advisor's off. So in that hypothetical, I don't want to complicate things, but in talking with that advisor, what that means is we're going to block off on the calendar the 3 months of the year when the advisor's out and not available. And that means we're going to have to spread the meetings evenly throughout the remaining months. So we have 9 months during the year that we're spreading the meetings out. But that doesn't mean that we're spreading the duties and the checkpoints. In other words, your administrative manager still spreads the checkpoints out across 12 months. So the advisor may be taking 3 months off. That may affect the actual progress meeting cycle so that you're spreading meetings across 9 months instead of 12. But by requiring that your subject matter experts serve the clients over a 12-month period instead of a 9-month period, that means that your client is being served even when, and especially when, you're not around. So you're off 3 months of the year, but by having this standard that we're talking about where clients are continually served, the subject matter experts don't take 3 months off during the year. They continue to work, and this is one of the benefits, I would say biggest benefits, of having a team approach like this. And by the way, it's one of the reasons in the deliverables team recruitment process, when you get to that course, you'll realize that this is why we ask that you only consider acquiring subject matter experts onto your team if they have a minimum of 2 administrative support staff supporting them. In other words, you don't allow any subject matter experts onto the team unless they meet all the criteria. In other words, they're highly skilled and they're, you know, they commit to being, you know, good team members. So they're going to serve on a team and be good team players. But in addition to that, we're looking for, among other things, a minimum of at least two administrative support staff that they've got supporting them, so that in those times when they take vacation or they get caught up with health issues, they have adequate support. There's ample support on their end to cover them when they're out. So yes, you as the advisor in that hypothetical, you may be taking significant time off during the year, but the you maintain the high standard that does not go for your subject matter experts. They have to have adequate support for themselves so that throughout the entire 12 months, somebody's paying attention in that narrow field of finance to that client. And even when the subject matter expert is out of the office, either on vacation or out for health issues or whatever, they have ample support staff as backup to cover everything. So you're always continually serving your clients. Another reason why it's important that clients are continually served is that I would just kind of just state it as a basic foundational understanding. Your ideal clients deserve continual service with no time off. So when you acquire an ideal client, they're not sitting there thinking about, like, they would never agree if you were to approach them and say, look, we're going to charge you a substantial amount of money to serve you, and I take off 3 months a year and your financial planner takes off 1 month a year, and then you start kind of creating excuses for times during the year when the client will not be paid very close attention to. That is not acceptable. You are dealing at the highest levels of the industry. You are expecting clients to pay substantial amounts of money because, why? Because you're a financial services monopoly. You're protecting the client. You're paying close attention. You're coordinating all aspects of their financial affairs with complete and total transparency. And there's no time off. There's no month off when that's not happening. And so that's why you have a team. Everybody's covering for each other. It's one of the greatest benefits of having a team is you've got, it's not only you, but it's five subject matter experts, each of them having two administrative support staff. So you've got a substantial team backing each other up. If one individual is out for whatever reason, they've got substantial support and backup in order to keep things rolling during those times when they're not available. And when you're out, your team continues doing the work. So the client may notice, the client may or may not notice that 3 months of the year they don't have a meeting with you, but they still are having meetings every 4 months. And so you have this conscious effort on the part of your administrative manager to make sure that the meetings are spread through these 9 months when you're available. If you take 3 months off a year, or what, it's blocking whatever time off you've got, but it's totally transparent to the client. They don't have any sense that this is happening. They don't even know you're out, because even while you're gone, your team and their support people are serving these clients at a very high level. There is no stopping of service. The clients are continually served, and that's why it's so critical. So back to the outcomes, the clients are continually served. Subject matter experts are continually working on clients with no breaks in the calendar. And finally, the fifth outcome of implementing all the ongoing requirements of the three-meeting process is that as you add ideal clients, the value to each client doesn't diminish, it actually increases. That as you implement this system and as you begin delegating and pushing work out to the subject matter experts, they stretch and grow as members of the team. They begin more and more understanding how to be good team players, how to cover for each other, how to interact and collaborate with others on the team, how to participate and contribute to the dry run prep meetings, and how to prepare for these client progress meetings so that you can deliver an extraordinary client experience. The end result is that as your team gets used to working with each other, and as time goes on and you're pushing more and more responsibilities out to the subject matter experts, they stretch and grow as a team. They begin to work in concert. Bill Bacharach likes to use the metaphor of an orchestra. So the conductor, which is you, you're the trusted advisor. You're up conducting the orchestra, and you're waving your hands. And each of your subject matter experts out there in the orchestra, along with their support people, making beautiful music. You know, you have the violin section, the oboe section, and the brass section. Every section of the orchestra has a different responsibility, and the trusted advisor is up there kind of coordinating and making sure that everybody's working in concert. But if you as the trusted advisor step down, let's say you're out on holiday or you've got a health issue, you know, you're sick, just because the conductor steps off the platform just for a moment, the orchestra, as the time goes on, is able to continue making beautiful music. They can continue to operate as a team, even if you as trusted advisor are off the platform for a short period of time. And so that's my point. As they learn how to work together, you're building your team right. Every team member is an extraordinarily skilled individual, professional, but they have ample support, and they begin working together, and they learn how to work together extraordinarily well over time. And as that increases, then your clients will, rather than complain, that as you grow, you know, you'll never have a client that says, "Hey, I remember back in the old days when I got more attention." No, as you implement the three meeting process the way we teach it, in the exact precise way that we tell you to implement it with the ongoing requirements, then your clients will have the opposite impression. You'll start hearing comments over time that, you know, it's every year I seem to be getting more and more value from your team. Or you'll be, you know, the big payoff is as you have large percentages of your clients saying that you and your team are indispensable to them. They have no idea what they do without you and your team. So those are the outcomes. And by implementing this in the precise way that we teach it, you get the Advisor Pack seal of approval. This is the optimal outcome. Bill Bacharach calls this financial advisory nirvana. You know, it's a system where the team relies on each other, and the client, because of the team approach, never has this feeling that that anybody's not available and not working. There's continual service to the client, and that's and the client has complete certainty about when and how often they're meeting with you and the team. Next question. I've just joined the Advisor Pack monthly program. What's the sequence of the first few things I should be doing? Okay, so this comes up fairly frequently. We've talked about this in past sessions, but let me just fly through it so that you've got a good foundation. I want everybody to review this. Now, if you've already gone through some of these projects, then I'm going to suggest that you assess each project to make sure that you've done it thoroughly and properly. There is a tendency when people get started to kind of rush through the first few things, and I'm just pointing out that it's for you to have to set the stage for a fast implementation of truly comprehensive financial services. In other words, if your goal is to implement truly comprehensive financial services at a rapid pace, then if you fail to implement any of these initial preliminary sequences thoroughly and properly, it can cause you problems down the road. So the first project is to select a strong administrative manager. And we always tell every advisor that this is a position that is unlike anything you've ever hired for before. You may already have administrative support people working for you, but this position that we call administrative manager, it's emphasis on the word manager rather than on the word administrative. We assume that the individual that you select will be a good administrator. What we're really looking for is a manager, someone with management experience. Externally, on this individual's business card, it will likely say administrative manager because that's their title. But internally, this person is known as the project leader. So we are looking for an individual with strong leadership skills. And at the beginning, this administrative manager's primary objective is to help you build your team. So you need someone with strong leadership skills who is able to go out and find candidates for you to interview for any vacancies that you've got on your team. And the tax accountant, the estate planning lawyer, the insurance consultant, the insurance subject matter expert, money managers, financial planners, you need to have your administrative manager be a strong leader who's able to shake the trees, go out into the professional community, and find candidates for you to interview. It's your job as a trusted advisor to interview and select and invite individuals, experts onto your team. So it's your job as the advisor to actually interview and build, select your team. It's your administrative manager's responsibility to be able to go out and find candidates for you to interview. So you need a strong administrative manager, someone who is capable of making forward progress in this 11-step project that we call Truly Comprehensive Financial Services. And you need to keep an open mind and you need to put your administrative managers in part on notice that you expect forward progress. And if at any point the project stalls out, so if you're moving through these 11 steps to implement Truly Comprehensive Financial Services, if ever progress stalls on a given step, and every step is designed to take approximately 30 to 45 days to complete. But if ever your administrative manager takes more than 60 days to implement a single step of the 11, then it's really shape up or ship out time. You can't have forward progress stalled. The stakes are too high and the payoff is too large. Once you implement all 11 steps of Truly Comprehensive Financial Services, not only are you the only game in town, not only are you radically differentiated from every other advisor in town, but you are at the point by delivering comprehensive financial services at a level that no other advisor is delivering, that your clients are so thrilled with what's being provided to them by way of service that they will take over your marketing for you. They will introduce you to every potential client that you need to know to build out your ideal client community. So the stakes are very high. You have to select an administrative manager that's capable of making forward progress through these 11 steps and not stalling out. And you need to remain open-minded that you're giving the individual an opportunity. You're being very clear about what you're expecting. And that is the second project, is to really sit down with the administrative manager so they understand your expectations. And the expectations are that they are going to make forward progress through these 11 steps without stalling out. And that they understand that they are never to pause more than 60 days on any one of the 11 steps. And the first few steps involves them building your team. They need to immediately start finding candidates for you to begin implementing our 12-step deliverables team recruitment process to begin building your team of skilled subject matter experts. So you sit down. And we've got a whole. If you've not gotten to this course yet in the Advisor Pack monthly program, you will. One of the monthly courses that you'll receive in sequence in the Advisor Pack monthly program is this course to explain how to acquire a strong administrative manager and then how to sit down and set proper expectations with the administrative manager so that they're meeting their key performance measures and making forward progress through the 11 steps implementing Truly Comprehensive Financial Services. So those are the first two projects in the sequence. The third is something called is to complete the annual recurring revenue exercise. So we call this the ARR. So if you have not gotten to the point in the Advisor Pack monthly program where you've received this course, just be patient. You will. It's one of the monthly courses that you'll receive at some point in sequence. And the annual recurring revenue exercise is really important. It's very simple in format. It's the way we teach it. It's a spreadsheet. but it's a list. We call the annual recurring revenue exercise a list that you will work initially with your administrative manager to create, but after you've created it, it's up to your administrative manager to maintain it, and this will form a basis for the agenda that you will have with your administrative manager during their status update check-in meetings with you. We recommend your administrative manager sit down with you several times each week for a brief status update about the implementation of Truly Comprehensive Financial Services. So to basically update you on the progress of the 11 steps implementing Truly Comprehensive Financial Services. So we call these status update check-in meetings. Really depends on the schedule of your administrative manager, how many hours a week they work. But for a full-time administrative manager, we strongly recommend that they sit down with you daily for a brief status update check-in meeting. To, in essence, say, you know, here's the step of the 11 steps. Here's the step I'm currently on. Number two, here's how long I've been on this particular step. And number three, here's my target date for achieving the next step. And that's the daily status update check-in agenda. But the next item in the daily agenda is to review the annual recurring revenue exercise. This is every single time you have a status update check-in meeting with your administrative manager. So what's on this exercise? It's a listing of everyone that you're actively working with in your business. It's a list of clients. It's a listing of ideal clients, if you have any. If it's a listing of non-ideal clients. So every client is listed on this annual recurring revenue exercise. And potential clients, so as you identify individuals that might potentially become clients, they're listed on this annual recurring revenue exercise, as well as individuals that you're focused on meeting. We call these self-referrals in order for you to focus on them as potential clients. So think of this as just a big list. We call this your pool of, it's the pool of individuals that you're dealing with in your business, both clients and potential clients. It's helping you and your administrative manager work together to make sure that all your clients are being managed appropriately, to make sure your non-ideal clients are not becoming distractions, and mainly to discuss your potential clients and for your administrative manager to be aware of all the potential clients in the pool of potential clients that you're currently working with in order for you to make sure that nobody falls through the cracks. So you complete the annual recurring revenue exercise. If you have not received this course yet, you will. The fourth project in sequence is to structure your compensation. And we call this setting your PMAR. This is establishing your predictable minimum annual recurring revenue. It's really important that you take the course, go through the course and go through all the exercise to establish what your compensation is going to be. Your compensation needs to be, for every ideal client, it needs to be predictable. There needs to be a minimum established so that you meet your objectives, your revenue objectives. And so there's an annual recurring revenue, recurring, emphasis on the word recurring, revenue. So you structure your compensation and you set your PMAR. That's the next project in the sequence. And we have a course on that. The fifth sequence, project in the sequence, is to establish your ideal client profile. So again, if you have not gotten to this course yet, you will. But in sequence, you need to establish the profile of the client that you serve best. This is not a wish list, which many advisors have. So if I go out into the advisory community and I sit down with a successful advisor and I say, so what is your ideal client profile? Most advisors can kind of reel off a list of criteria of clients. It's kind of what I would call the wish list. This is what I'm really looking for. This is what I hope to find in a client. That's not what we're talking about here. What an ideal client profile is, it earns you the right to be very selective in your ideal client community. So it takes some time for you to really sit down and establish and finalize what we call the ideal client profile. And it's something that you will evangelize in your community. Marketing 101 states that it's your responsibility to make sure that everyone who could be a potential client of yours, you know, Marketing 101 states that you know, they have to know you exist. They have to know what you do and know that you exist and know what you do. So that's Marketing 101. And this ideal client profile is something that you will use in that effort to make sure that everyone in your community who could become a potential client, that they know the profile of the client that you serve best. And what this document ends up actually serving as is a list of criteria that if an individual or a family does not meet this ideal client profile, if there's any element, any bullet point on the list that they don't qualify for, that you will reject them as an ideal client. And that you are building your ideal client community carefully, and you have higher standards for your ideal client than any potential client has for their advisor. You're highly selective in focusing on only the clients that you know you can serve the best, and that creates that helps you create your financial services monopoly. So it's important that you sit down and think carefully about this, because you're building a profile of clients that if they don't meet every criteria on the list, you're agreeing in advance to yourself that I'm not going to allow this individual to join my ideal client community. Now, you may accept them as a non-ideal client. I didn't do that, and I don't necessarily recommend that you do that, but I do understand the need for survival clients or maybe survival income. So as you're building your ideal client community, I understand the necessity to make sure that there's revenue coming in to keep the business open. So I'm just simply suggesting that you establish an ideal client profile so that as you encounter individuals that actually meet the profile, that those are the individuals that you focus on, and ultimately those are only the individuals that you invite into your ideal client community. If you need survival income, then you can certainly approach individuals that don't meet the profile to become non-ideal clients, or what we call survival clients. The sixth project in the sequence is, once you've done all of this, you've got a strong administrative manager, there's clear expectations, your administrative manager is helping you build your team, your administrative manager is managing the annual recurring revenue exercise and helping you make sure that you're investing adequate time face-to-face or on the phone, adding potential clients to the list regularly, and that none of those potential clients ever falls through the cracks in terms of this process to bring them into your firm, and that you've structured your compensation in a way that you're highly profitable as you add ideal clients. You've got a predictable minimum and your recurring revenue. And as you're meeting with potential clients, you have an ideal client profile, and you only invite individuals that meet your ideal client profile into your ideal client community. And to make that case, especially with existing clients, so let's say you have existing clients that could become ideal clients, the next step in the project is to nail down and perfect the conversation explaining to an existing client why you think it's in their best interest to accept your invitation to join your ideal client community. We call this the old way to new way conversation. You had a way that you were serving this client, that's the old way, and you now have a new way of serving them. This is your truly comprehensive financial services business model. The old way to new way conversation is just a formula where you articulate how to get from the old way to the new way, and why you think it's in this client's best interest to accept your invitation to join the ideal client community. You perfect that conversation in a compelling way. And so the sixth project in the sequence is for you to nail down and perfect the old way to new way conversation. And there's a formula to it, and it's got to be in your own words, but if you have not received this course yet, you will. And then the seventh and what I'm going to say, the final in the initial preliminary sequence is the, is to perfect the 10 pivotal questions. So after you've got the old way to new way conversation nailed down, and you've got a very compelling conversation, especially to existing clients, to describe, you know, the ideal client services and to invite them into the ideal client community, well, after you've made the offer, then you're going to shut up and the client's going to say something. And they're typically going to have some questions before they just raise their hand and agree to join your ideal client community, which in almost every case requires an increase in compensation. In other words, they're going to be paying more to step up and join your ideal client community. And so you need to have really sharp responses to whatever questions they have, next. And we call these the 10 pivotal questions. These are not, this is not objection handling. You are not ever going to have objections because you're never going to try to persuade someone who doesn't meet your ideal client profile to join your ideal client community. You're only going to be inviting individuals who meet every aspect of your ideal client profile to join your ideal client community. So it's very common, I would say in every case, a potential ideal client will not just join your ideal client community without asking a series of questions that are top of the mind for them. And so that leads to what we call the 10 pivotal questions. So what are the 10 pivotal questions? We have a course on this. If you have not received this course yet, you will. In this program. The 10 pivotal questions are, what do you do? How do you deliver on that? What kind of clients do you serve best, or what's your ideal client profile? What keeps you in this business, or what drove you to deliver this particular business model? And exactly how do you charge, or what's this going to cost me? What exactly do your clients get for what they pay you? And why should I work with you over other advisors in the community? And so what's the process if I become a client? So what's the step-by-step process? If I say yes, what happens next? And what makes you think I'm going to be a good client, or I would make a good client? And how can I be certain I can trust you, or how can I be certain I can trust your firm? So what are these 10 pivotal questions? I would say that after you invite an individual, whether it's an existing client or a new potential ideal client, once you invite them to join your ideal client community, they're going to have a series of questions. What I'm proposing is that you perfect responses to these 10 questions, and that they have to be in your words. So we can help you, and we have a course that helps you develop very powerful responses to any of these, to each of these 10 questions. But all I can tell you is that investing time to develop concise, coherent, conversational and compelling responses to the 10 pivotal questions is going to fully equip you with all the optimal responses that you'll need to any of hundreds of possible questions that a potential client will ask you. So I cannot guarantee after you invite a potential ideal client into your community, I cannot guarantee what questions they will ask. All I can guarantee you is this: if you perfect powerful answers to each of these 10 pivotal questions, those responses will actually be the responses to any of hundreds of questions that a potential ideal client will ask you. You will be bulletproof. No matter what question they ask you after you invite them to join your ideal client community, you'll be fully scripted in your mind. You'll be able to very quickly deliver a concise, coherent, conversational, and compelling response to answer their question. You'll have great answers to great questions. Well, that's it for the monthly session this month, for the Advisor Pack monthly session. Listen, as always, we wish you all the best in implementing. Until next month, I'm Mark Little. If you have questions for us at the Advisor Pack monthly program, just go on the Advisor Pack monthly site and the advisorpack.com site and go to contact us and submit your question. If you've got your question submitted within 24 hours of us going live for the monthly session, then we'll consider your question for inclusion in that month's Advisor Pack monthly session.